morning, brothers and sisters. It is so good to be with you today. Why don't we stand as we sing and we begin our service? We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. Let's be seated.
We bring a sacrifice of praise. Today, we offer our lives to God in worship. We give as we have been given. Welcome, beloved ones, to Southwest Central Church of Christ. My name is Steve Sargent. I am the minister here. And I am so thankful that you've chosen to be with us today. No matter if you're here in person or watching online, we are so thankful that you are here. If you are online especially, check in. Let us know that you are watching. Greet one another as you typically do. If you are in here, just a reminder, you can log on your phone and follow along there as well. There is a 10 to 12 second delay in what goes on live here than what you'll see on the screen, but that's okay. You can greet one another nevertheless. So go ahead and do that if you'd like. All right, a little bit later in our service, we will share bread and cup together. We'll share communion time together if you are at home. Now's a great time to grab your supplies if you have not already. Whatever bread you're going to use, whatever juice, wine, water, that is just fine. After communion, we'll have an opportunity to give our offering, our contributions, our tithes. Brent, as you have already seen, is leading us in worship today. Cora, in just a moment, is going to come and light our Christ candle. Chelsea will lead us at the table. Our friend Nora is going to come and pray over us this morning, and Barbara is going to read our scripture for today from 1 John. Let's light our candle, and then I will come up and read our psalm for the day. Let me please invite you to stand once more for the psalm, Psalm 23, and the couple of songs that follow. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. For you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ his Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ his Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks. For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. I exalt thee, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, O Lord. We exalt thee, we exalt thee, we exalt thee, O Lord. Let's be seated.
Dear Lord, we hope that we have a wonderful food and hope that people feel better soon. Amen.
We can go home now if you'd like. Thank you, Nora, for praying so well and so beautifully on our behalf. Thank you for doing that. Okay, Nora and Cora have both told you that there are children here, and there are children, I'm sure, watching online. This time is for you. Our Leaves Bulletin, I read our psalm for today, Psalm 23. This is from the New Living Translation. I love the part of the psalm where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need." What a great translation. I already have all that I need. It's good. On the back, you'll see some activities regarding 1 John, which in just a moment, Barbara is going to come and read. You can fill those out. You can send me pictures of them if you choose to do so. And as always, we're so thankful for your presence here. All right, 1 John chapter 4 is where Barbara's going to be reading. If you at home want to follow along in your Bibles, if you are here, you can follow along on the screen or in your Bibles as well.
Good morning. Just a little background about this really rather short book. The false teachers were trying to mislead the first century Christians who were denying the truth true humanity of Christ. So John writes to them, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him, and he in us. He has given us his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has created, has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us."
Thanks, Barbara. Let's pray together, please. Oh God, pour forth through me now the gift of preaching. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see. It's through Christ that we pray and do all things. Amen. The author of 1 John likes to draw in spiral patterns. His writing style is like one of those yellow donation funnels, the kind where you drop a coin down a little slide at the top. You know what I'm referring to? Drop a nickel into the slide and down it rolls on its side, these wide looping circles at first. Around and around it goes, and the lower it gets into the funnel, the tighter the circles become and the quicker the coin spins, faster and faster, until finally the coin drops through the bottom of the funnel with a satisfying clunk onto a pile of waiting coins. Congratulations, my friends. You have just donated 5 cents to Make-A-Wish Foundation or to Pet Adoptions. Most New Testament writers write in a logical progression, like a stepladder. I write this, and then I can build off that argument by writing this. I can build off that argument by writing this. But 1 John isn't like that. His writing patterns spiral in on each other. He loops back around in wide, broad circles to return to his favorite things, scripting out something he's already said once or twice or 5 times already, and he says it again quickly and urgently before he uses up all the space on his parchment and the bottom drops out. He repeatedly comes back to these ideas, not just because they are on his heart in regards to a hurting congregation, but also because he wants the church to get it. As we've talked about during the last 2 weeks in our short series on 1 John, the writer rounds and rounds on two topics. The deep, abiding love God has for you, displayed in the bright and convicting light of Christ Jesus, God's Son. And the second is like it. Loving one another in the same way that Jesus loved you, by laying down your life for them. Our text this morning, now 4.5 chapters into a 5-chapter letter, follows those same two themes as the coin spins faster and faster into the narrowing funnel. Dear friends, he writes, let us love one another, for love comes from God. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. There he is again, retracing his well-worn steps for our benefit. This time around, though, John tosses in a few wrinkles into the arena. The first is saying God is love. Says it twice, in fact, and Barbara read both of them. God is love. Before the pandemic changed all of us, my family went to an outdoor wedding for a young friend of ours. The night before, at the rehearsal dinner, the bride's uncle, a pastor himself, prayed before the meal in a manner unfamiliar to me. He prayed in front of everyone with his eyes wide open. I know because I watched. He put his neck on a swivel and looked up at the skies and then looked over toward the trees and then toward his niece and her husband-to-be, and then looked around at all the guests, most of whom had their heads bowed and eyelids closed like good praying people should. At one point, he looked right at me, and since I was looking at him, our eyes locked, but not uncomfortably. And he kept on praying without missing a beat before his gaze moved on. Had I tried to pray in public like that, I would have fumbled all over my words and dropped most of them to the ground. It wasn't just the looking around that I found ministerially uncharacteristic. It was his prayer language. Instead of using the word God, he used the word love with a capital L. O love that will not let us go, he began. You, love, meet us here, for love is your very nature and love is who you are. Whenever we see love, we see you who is love, and you, O love, are with this bride and this groom. Once his tongue twister of a prayer finished and everyone said amen, I committed as much of it as possible to memory so I could chew on it later, maybe for a sermon, who knows? Arriving at 1 John's magnanimous chapter 4 this week and pondering on God is love, I thought about that prayer. I wonder if the pastor had just finished preaching his own series on this little letter and was channeling up a recent sermon. Or maybe he had just become so convinced of the truth of who God is that God and love could possibly be synonyms of each other. My guess is the latter. that he agreed with John, who said it first, that God is love. Love is God's very nature, and love is who God is. You see love, you see God. For those who prefer God to not be so touchy-feely, John, I guess, could have come up with different words that may have satisfied us better, like God is sovereign or God is law and order. God is sovereign could meet the hunger for a God who flings hurricanes away from land, who vanquishes invisible viruses with a mighty breath of God's own. God is law and order could fill our appetite for a God who makes sure that no gray areas exist when it comes to what's right and what's wrong. A God who always holds immediately accountable persons who do bad things. But John doesn't do that. What does he choose? He chooses God is love. For the last decade or two, I have overheard that love is a dynamic verb, not a static noun, that love is an action, something we actively do. Love drives the choices we choose. Love is a verb. Love as a verb is what happens when love comes alive. The way I love my wife or love my daughter is active. I express my love to them by what I do and what I say, by how I consider them before myself. It's true that love is a dynamic verb. It's also true that love is a noun. When John says God is love, the word love there is, you guessed it, a noun, not a verb. And love, the noun, is far from static. God is love is the charging station that powers up all loving actions in the church or otherwise. Without plugging into the source who is love, our loving actions run the risk of drying up or wearing down. Or worse, those loving actions could become self-dependent or me-centric, or motivated by human reward. The verb points to the noun, not the other way around. John says it this way: this is love. Not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to deal with our sins. Since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love one another. As we do that, as we love each other, God lives within us, and his love makes us whole, John says. It's this promise, God's complete, perfected, whole love in us, that we who have joined the Jesus way have come to depend on. Verse 16, we know and rely on the love God has for us. We rely on the love God has for us. What a word that is, rely. There are lots of things that I rely on. I rely on coffee each morning, poured before the sun rises and nursed on for a good hour or two. I rely on the mountains that they will still be there whenever I get a chance to go back. I rely on you to show up either here or online so that I won't have to preach to myself. John says that we come to rely on the love that God has for us. We come to believe in God's love, which casts out every single fear. We look to God's love to keep chiseling away at whatever propaganda campaigns there are that prevent us from seeing the truth of the gospel. We entrust all of our eggs into this faith basket, all of our doubts and shames. This right here is plan A, B, C, and D. We rely on love to do what love does. Everything that I have, everything that I am, I rely on love to see all of this through to completion. I read a book recently where the author told a story about his wife who developed cancer. As much as he wanted to fix his wife's illness, to make everything better, he knew that there was no way he could do so. So he created a daily ritual on his way to his office, beginning his commute with these words: God, if I could take control of this myself, I would. But I can't. I am left with no choice but to trust you. So with fear and trembling, I hand my wife over to you. I know that many of you could tell similar stories. The writer says that this handing over practice changed the way that he prayed altogether, because he was reminded that as important as it is for him to pray, it's God who does the decisive work. What he had to do was rely on God no matter what may come. Is God, who is love, trustworthy? Talk about faith. I would like to end my sermon and our time in 1 John by praying. As Chelsea has been teaching us in her Sunday morning Bible class, what prayer does, of course, is what all spiritual disciplines aim to do: draw us back into the hands of the God who is love. Using this prayer as a model and holding John's words close, we rely on the love God has for us. I would like to walk us through an exercise of naming that which we can entrust to God. Here's what I mean by that. Up on the screen, you see a prayer template. It says this: God, if I could make it, whatever it may be, if I could make it happen myself, I would. But since I cannot, I hand this person or this situation over to you. Today, I rely on you who is love. If you're watching at home, you can write that down or simply remember the gist of it. God, if I could make it happen myself, I would, but since I cannot, I hand this person or this situation over to you. Today, I rely on you who is love. This is a prayer of honesty, of courage, of fear, of dependence, of releasing our anxious grip on things to the God who does the decisive and loving work. Can we rely on the trustworthiness of God no matter what may come, no matter if you are 5 years old or 45 years old or 85 years old? For this prayer, I will give you 6 prompts, each about 30 seconds long. I want to invite you to let a name or a situation arise within you, and you don't have to think too hard for something to come up of that, I'm sure. You are already thinking about these things. Your task is to hand it over to God in a prayer of reliance. You can plug in the name or the situation into the prayer up on the screen and leave it at that, or you can let these words pull you into a deeper kind of prayer. Both ways are just fine. You can close your eyes if you'd like, but you don't have to. You can just look around if you want. You can upturn your palms as a prayer posture, but you don't have to do that. But I do ask that you settle in, that you arrive, that you be present as much as you are able. I will pray as we begin, and then I will guide you along the way. Afterwards, Brent will come and lead us in a song that I will ask you to stand for at the end. And then Chelsea will come and lead us at the table. Does that make sense? You'll learn along the way. We'll be just fine. Let's pray together, please. O love that will not let us go, we rest our weary souls in thee, you who is love. In your Eastering love, meet us as we are, and keep forming us into who you want us to be. We rely on you, O love, and we entrust these persons and these situations to you. I invite you now to let a world event, recent or ongoing, to arise within you and pray in reliance. And now, let a person you know who needs care arise within you, specifically someone who needs physical care due to age or ailment, or someone who needs mental care. Pray in reliance. Now let the person who is a caregiver to that person you just named arise within you and pray in reliance. Let the face of a specific child or teenager in this church, in this congregation, arise within you and pray in reliance. Let the unknown future of this church arise within you. The opportunities and the concerns, let them all arise within you and pray in reliance. And finally, name yourself. Place yourself into God's very good hands and pray in reliance. All of these things, O God, all of these people, all of these situations, including ourselves, we commend them to you by your Spirit who abides in us. To your love we commit them, to your mercy, to your way. We pray in the name of Jesus, the one who showed us what love is. And together we say, or we type, Amen. Let's stand and worship with this next song.
Oh, love that will not let me go, I yield my weary soul in thee. I give thee back my life, my all, that in thine ocean depths its flow may richer, fuller be. O light that followest all my way, I yield my flickering torch to thee. My heart restores its borrowed ray, that in thy sunshine's glow its day may brighter forer be. O joy that seekest me through pain, I cannot close my heart to thee. I trace the rainbow through the rain, and feel the promise is not vain, that morning shall tearless be. O cross that liftest up my head, I dare not ask to hide from thee. I lay in dust life's glory dead, and from the ground there blossoms red life that shall endless be. Let's be seated.
For God so loved the world that he gave us our Son. This is a cornerstone that we have built our faith on and that we believe. And we pause and take a moment in each of our services to remember that tangibly. And we're going to do that now with the cup and the bread. Steve and I are going to take sides and pass both to you. When you take the cup, just keep it. And we will dispose of that after our service today. And if you are worshiping with us from home, please partake in this with yourself and those gathered around you. Will you pray with me? Father God, we are grateful for your love, that it is a verb and a noun. And as we partake in the bread and the cup today, may we remember the great sacrifice and love that was poured upon us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Your steam of great, where is your victory? Oh, church, come stand in the light. The glory of God has defeated the night. Singing of death, is alive, he's alive. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead, we are one with him again. Come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known. Above treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind the stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone like a rose, trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Above all powers, above all kings, above all
in a moment, Glenn is going to come around with the offering tray. If you have something to give, to place in there, just wave him down and we'll receive it that way. If you also choose to give online, like so many of you do, if you choose to mail it in, bring it to the office, we'll take care of it, no matter which way you give it. And as always, thanks. Let's pray together and we'll go on from there. We bring our sacrifice of praise, O God, and we also bring our lives, which includes that which we have, that's that which is in our possessions. Take these funds, this money that we give, and by your grace and by your Spirit, continue to form and shape not only us, but our neighborhood and your kingdom as well. It's through Christ that we pray. Amen. All right, a couple of family matters to share with you. I talked about last Sunday that there is a pretty good chance that we're not going to be able to meet in person here next Sunday, May 2nd, because a couple days before, the whole electrical pole system in the back is getting replaced, hopefully, and fingers crossed. It's been quite a journey for us, and hopefully it's coming to a swift conclusion for us. That means, of course, that we won't have electricity in this building. So by Saturday, we hope to send a message out in email and on Facebook to let you know if we're going to be able to gather here in person. If not, I'm going to preach in the hopefully sunlit lobby where there's enough light. If you do not have access to internet or Facebook or Zoom or anything like that, you are welcome to join me in the lobby. And if the power is out, hopefully we won't sweat each other out. So just be on the lookout for announcements to come. We'll let you know. But in the meantime, let's plan to all stay at home and watch online next Sunday. May 9th, we're looking to increase the number of folks that we have in here. So many of you have gotten vaccinated, which, yay, good for you. Thanks for doing that. We're looking to up it to about 40 at this point, about 15 more than we currently cap it at. That will start on May 9th, and we'll share more information with you in the weeks to come on that. Just going down the Sunday line here, May 16th, we are having our missions love offering. Last year, we told you that missions has moved off budget. We have moved them both to, we have moved it to primarily missions love offering, and not just one that we typically do in November, but we're adding the second 6 months later, and that 6 months, if you can believe it, is in May. So May 16th is the day that we're targeting for missions love offering for Reggie Hiller, who works over in Austria, and Glenn Langston, who works among the deaf population in our world. Both do excellent work. And in the weeks to come, there are several of us that are going to interview both of them. And on May 16th, we'll show just a video collage of what they're, what God is doing in their world and in their work. So we'll share that on May 16th. You can, of course, give any time between now and May 16th, but May 16th is the day that we're targeting for that. Okay, last thing, and then our benediction for today. Most of you know that we continue to give out snack bags to our neighbors, to our Reach to Teach families or friends, those we've met since March of last year. Luann Pepper, who helps me every single Wednesday, who helps Corey and myself every single Wednesday, is not able to join me this week. If you would like to come and see what happens on Wednesday nights, then come and join me at 4 o'clock this upcoming Wednesday, and you can help me pass out our snack bags to our neighbors. Like I said last week, it is a great joy. So come and join me. If you like, just let me know if you're interested. Okay, I think that's all that I have. Thanks, as always, for your presence, for your love for each other, for your love for God. Let's read a part of 1 John chapter 4 as our benediction today, as we're sending out. I invite you to stand if you are willing and able to do so. This is how we know that we live in Him and He in us. He has given us His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. What a gift. I ask that you go out in peace and with great purpose this week. We'll see you next Sunday.